on Saturday, May 20th at 7 p.m. at the Woodstock Jewish Congregation. They will have an interfaith event featuring Imam and cardiologist Dr. Reza Mansour. The presentation shares a title with Mansour's memoir, Stigmatized, From 9/11 to Trump and Beyond, An American Muslim Journey. Dr. Reza Mansour is board certified in internal medicine and cardiology, practices as a cardiologist at Hartford Hospital. He is a past president of the Islamic Center of Connecticut and Islamic Council of New England. In the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks, Dr. Mansour watched with dismay as attitudes and stereotypes about Islam and about Muslims living in the United States hardened. In an effort to build understanding, he wrote the memoir. Again, it's entitled Stigmatized, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Reza Mansour to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for having me on.
A great pleasure. So we mentioned your event on Saturday at 7 o'clock. Much of this comes from the memoir. Ultimately, what do you hope people get out of your message and what you're talking about, not only in the book, but what you'll be talking about on Saturday night?
So the issue, Joe, is that since 9/11, there was a Times poll, Time magazine poll, that showed that in November of 2001, 17% of Americans had a negative view about Islam and Muslims. That number has steadily gone up. And it goes up in leaps around the time of the election. But it's now, or in 2016, was about 50%. So that's about 150 people who have a negative view about Islam. And it's really based on the politics of what's going on in the Middle East, as well as some Islamophobic people who are going around spreading messages about Arabic words such as Sharia and Jihad. And so people are very confused. They want to know what Islam is. And at the same time, they're bombarded with this false narrative about Islam. And people want to know from a Muslim what Islam is. And so the book was written really to not only give my story from coming from Sri Lanka to America because of a civil war in Sri Lanka, but also as a Muslim, how I dealt with the increased Islamophobia through an organization that we started in the greater Hartford area, the Muslim Coalition of Connecticut, that has gone out doing outreach as well as building, you know, living our faith through building habitat houses, through serving in soup kitchens, through walking against hunger, but doing all of that with other faith communities so that they realize that the values we share, both as Americans and as faith communities, as Muslims in particular, are no different than the other major faith communities. So I think it's really the authentic narrative that Americans are looking for. And that's what I found in talking in churches and synagogues and mosques and other places about this book, is that people really appreciate the fact that they actually can ask genuine questions that they have from a Muslim, from a practitioner of the faith.
As it stands right now in this era of Donald Trump, with the title of the book being Stigmatized, how stigmatized is the American Muslim community under this administration?
Well, so the issue was, even before this administration started, was the rhetoric that Donald Trump espoused, which not only called for a ban on all Muslims coming to America, but also making up facts about American Muslims celebrating after 9/11, which has been debunked by all the major news networks. But he's been able to use terms such as jihad and just muddy the water so much that people are just afraid. And each time he goes out and makes those comments, he sees his numbers go up, which means that people in general are afraid. Now, since he's coming to power, he's actually had people who have advised him have been some of the worst Islamophobes. For example, Frank Gaffney is very involved in advising Ted Cruz before him, and then now President Trump, but also Bridget Gabriel. Now, these are well-known actors in the Islamophobic world. Bridget Gabriel is a Lebanese Christian who was affected by the civil war there and attributes all the blame to religion when it's clearly a political conflict that was going on there. And so, you know, using these different conflicts, they conflated to become a problem with Islam, and they attribute all the blame to Islam. So when he is being advised by these these very extreme Islamophobes, it's very difficult to see him getting better. However, the silver lining is that the American public have really realized that a lot of this hatred is created, and they genuinely want to know more about Muslims. For the first time, I think when he introduced the first ban, there were people on the streets, especially in the airport, saying, no, no, we're going to protect the Muslims, we're going to protect the immigrants, and, standing up en masse to say that, no, we don't want this in America. And I think that's why his message of fear and division will never succeed, because America is the melting pot that welcomes all immigrants, refugees, in the best possible way. And I think we shouldn't give up on our values, and I see that in general, Americans are doing exactly that.
With that said, and I hope you're right, but the courts play a role in this, and so far the courts have been very helpful in making sure that these bans do not move forward. The concern is, even if in the short term they hold it up, as this administration becomes more entrenched and the judiciary changes, that we will see many of those protections go away. And just looking at the subtitle of the book, of From 9/11 to Trump and Beyond, when we look at the beyond part, how optimistic are you that you will still be able to not only have the people on your side, but have the courts on your side as well?
Well, I think this is the beauty of America, is that the court systems and the system of checks and balances that we have can stand up against these kind of knee-jerk, hateful, agenda-driven bans, if you will. But I do have a lot of faith in the system. I think the pendulum has swung far right, and people realize that this is an administration that just acts on the whim and doesn't really take into consideration all the alternatives. And I think that the pendulum will swing back, number one. And we've seen that in a few isolated elections, especially in Atlanta, where a Democrat came pretty close to winning in the first round, when it was an area that traditionally has been Republican. But I think in general, we've got to play a role as a catalyst in trying to ratchet down the fear of Islam, because there is genuine fear based on what's going on in the Middle East. And so this book is meant to be that catalyst that causes discussion. And Muslims have nothing to fear in having a healthy discourse about the issues and about these terms such as Sharia and Jihad that are so often misportrayed. But I come from a country, Joe, Sri Lanka, which had a civil war for 25 years, 100,000 people died. And it started with this Sinhala-only act, which was an act that was proposed by a very Trump-like politician. And he said, in 24 hours, I will change the language of Sri Lanka to the Buddhist majority language. And so it isolated the minorities, which in the civil war were the Tamil-speaking Hindus. And after he won, with time, his policies started being enforced. And there was a civil war between the Hindu, Tamil-speaking Hindus and the Sinhalese-speaking Buddhists that lasted for 25 years. Now, we can't afford that. And I have the luxury of being able to look back on that example. And coming to America, I feel like I have to do everything to try to say, no, before it gets to that stage, we need to try to ratchet down the fear. We need to have a healthy discourse. And I find that in America, the interfaith discussions and discourse is at a level much higher than in the rest of the world, partly because we are a melting pot, but partly also because we came from countries and nations and continents even that were having problems with faith communities fighting each other, whether it's Europe in the past, the Middle East now, and people appreciate the fact that we have to get along. We have to get together and understand each other and get along. If you make one in four people on earth your enemy, which is the Muslim population now, then you can see that this is a recipe for disaster. And everybody has a role to play in trying to ratchet down the fear.
What does it say then, because this is not just an American problem, of course, and we see the same type of fear elsewhere in the world. England, we see it in France, certainly, very much a part of the last election cycle in France. So yeah. This is a problem that Muslims are dealing with throughout the world. And ultimately, do you believe it comes down to fear of the unknown?
It does, Joe, but I think it's fear of the unknown with the fact that there are Arabic terms that people don't understand, and there are, you know, people, extremists in the Muslim world, and I'm not going to, you know, say it's a problem with Europe and America. It's a problem in the Muslim world as well, because there are extremists who are espousing some crazy ideas in the form of religion. If you look at the beginnings of ISIS, you know, it was Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which began after we invaded Iraq and replaced the, you know, Sunni administration with the Shia administration. And at its core, it's a Sunni revolution against the Shia government of Iraq and the occupation, which then spread into Syria because Syria also had a Shia leader. And so at its core, it's a Sunni-Shia civil war, if you will. And unfortunately, it has become now a proxy war between different countries of the Middle East and now the superpowers. And so you can see that it has the poor Syrian people have to suffer and endure this this disastrous civil war. But everybody wants to use religion. And so using the word Islamic State of Iraq and Syria suits them, but it has nothing to do with the reality on the ground. It's a brutal civil war. And so I think the dialogue, and I think in America we have a unique opportunity to be that shining hill, that example of a society that can actually dialogue through our differences rather than end up in civil wars and killing each other. And the American Muslim community, more than anybody, wants to see a successful dialogue-oriented approach towards understanding each other.
Dr. Reza Mansour will present Stigmatized from 9/11 to Trump and Beyond, an American Muslim Journey, at Woodstock Jewish Congregation in Woodstock, New York, this Saturday, May 20th at 7 o'clock. The event is free and open to the public. For more information, you can go to their website. It's wjcshul.org, wjcshul.org. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Dr. Mansour, I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning, and we look forward to having you in Woodstock.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thank you for interviewing me, and I appreciate the opportunity to educate people and explain my book and my position.
Great pleasure. Thank you very much. Dr. Reza Mansour, again, presenting Stigmatized at the Woodstock Jewish Congregation in Woodstock on Saturday night at 7 o'clock. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.